blessed are the hungry. And so we're going to come out of John chapter 5, verse 1. And it says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. Verse 3. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. And whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. Say that with me, 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and that's what Jesus said, he looked and he said, Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew that he'd already been there in that condition a long time, and he said to him, do you want to be made well? Now, somebody right here could look and go, if a pastor walked up to somebody who's like in a wheelchair or somebody who's blind, and you said, do you want to be, you'd think, what a sick pastor. What do you think they want? You know what I mean? Why are you asking them that question? Jesus had a reason why he asked him the question. There was a purpose to what he had said. And even if it was rhetorical, it stimulated his thinking to start to think on something. Jesus had something cooking in the cooker. He looked at him. He knew God wanted to do something. And here he says, do you want to be made well? In verse 7, the sick man answered and said to him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. And so even though he couldn't get up and go himself, and he focused on his inability, he put his vision, and he's thinking about people who have gone down, who have the ability to go in, and it's still, he's picturing people getting healed. Mine's an interesting thing. Jesus asked him a question and got him to start thinking, and he's picturing people that went down and they got healed. And Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and he walked that day, and that day was the Sabbath. See, everyone wants to be blessed, but very few people want to experience hunger. Everyone wants to be blessed, but very few people want to experience hunger. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I don't even think you would go to this church if you weren't a hungry one. This is a church for hungry ones. It's what we're all about. It's like, we're not trying to set the bar low. We're trying to like if there's a bunch of baby birds in the nest, the one with his mouth open the widest, that's our church. We want all that he has and all that he gives and everything he has, and God, we want more. There's nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, God is like pleased. He's happy. He's happy that you want to look more like his son. He's happy you're not setting the mark low. He's happy you're not comparing yourself to people, but you're comparing yourself to his son that walked on this earth. And today I want to talk about hunger. And as I realized, as I was preparing the sermon, that a lot of us in this room have no idea what it is to be hungry. Contrary to the people in Palestine that were present when Jesus preached this message, they understood hunger. So when Jesus preached this message, you have to look at the scriptures and try to say, who was he speaking to? What was he speaking to? What was the culture of the day? How were they receiving it? It helps you to understand. In Palestine, when Jesus spoke these words, a working man, he was only able to eat a meal that had meat about once a week. And the wages they made were barely enough to keep someone from starving. So hunger was a reality. So when Jesus is talking about, you know, hunger, and I know I went from our main text to the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 6, blessed are those who hunger, but we're those who get to be blessed are those who hunger. And if right after, we opened in John 5, and in John 6, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But which is it? Are we blessed if we hunger, or if we come to him, then we never hunger? Like Paul said, I've learned to be abase and abound. I learned to be content in all things, and yet he says hunger and thirst. So are we to hunger and thirst, or are we to be content? Yes. Both. We're to be content with the things that we have on the earth, but we're to always to hunger and thirst for more of heaven. We're to hunger and thirst to see more of the kingdom of God on this earth. We're to be content with the things that we've been provided, whether we're abase or abound, whether we have a lot or a little. But we're always to hunger and there's an art to staying hungry. There's an art, and there's things you do sometimes that stop and quench hunger that's not good. And we need to learn how to be those who not only hunger, but stay hungry. Because those who stay hungry will be blessed. And I want to be blessed. I don't want to just give what I can give. I want to give what God gives. And the more God blesses, the more you can give what God's blessed you with. So, as we take this message, blessed are the hungry, that's all of us. And the degree of hunger, it just changes all around the room, but we all have the same ability to be blessed by God because we can all get and remain and be hungry. So our culture is so removed from it that they really don't know, the majority of people probably don't know what it is to even feel faint from hunger. Or to know the bridge of dehydration, where you realize you're in trouble if you don't get water in your body. And, you know, I've been there just because I like being in the outdoors, maybe not the wisest thing sometimes, but I've been there where I'm so thirsty, I know I'm bridging dehydration, I'm losing strength, and I need water, or I'm in trouble. I've been there where you can't eat the food because you understand you need water for that. And I want to help you with this before we get into the sermon. I just want to set this up. Can you give me a little bit? Okay, when he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, if you dig into the sentence structure in the Greek, it's different than with us. What he's saying is, he's not saying blessed. Okay, if you exchange the word, when it says blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, okay? He's not saying, like, you've achieved this level of spirituality, and now that you've gone through our discipleship class, you're there. He's not saying, it's not a level of righteousness. He's saying, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. If you replace the word righteousness with bread, okay? If you replaced it with bread, he's not saying, blessed are those who hunger for a piece of bread. He's saying, blessed are those who hunger for the whole bakery. Are you getting this? So he's saying, like, blessed are those who hunger for all of righteousness. Do you get it? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for all that God has. You see, you set the mark too high. It doesn't mean that Paul said, I press to the high call. He lived his life for all of it, but he said, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. So what's the balance between that? Yes, I'm totally forgiven and I totally have that. The blood of Jesus cleansed me, but I want all that God has for me on the earth, and I'll press until the day that I see him, and until I find that full redemption and that point when God redeems all things, heaven and earth and all in it, and us, hello, are you here? That we're still in that process. So what I'm telling you is there's a press for the whole thing. It's not like you're going to get a piece and say, I'm satisfied, because that's not what he was preaching, and that's not, and they understood this, and we need to understand, I'm sorry to belabor this, I'm just saying, if we don't get this, then we'll think that somehow, if we compare ourselves to somebody who looks holy, or someone who looks righteous, we think we're there, but the mark is Jesus Christ, and he's the one we compare ourselves, that's the whole thing, I want to look more and more like him, so when we get that, then we understand, I got it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the whole of righteousness, for the complete righteousness of God. That's those who are blessed that have this hunger. And so a lot of people say, well, there's no way I could be holy as he's holy, so I'm not even going to try. It's not it. If you stay hungry, you keep getting more and more and more like him. So number one is our inabilities are cured by being hungry. And a lot of times we think, if I only have this, I won't have my weaknesses, and I'll be there, I'll be in that zone, I'm going to make it, you know, and it's like, our inabilities sometimes are cured by being hungry. The man Jesus walked up to, Jesus asked him a question, do you want to be made well? Jesus was asking him, are you hungry? Do you want to? Well, the fact that he's sick for 38 years and he's still at the water and he can't and he doesn't have anyone to lift him and he has no ability to get down into the water tells me he's hungry. I mean, he's sitting there and the water stirs. Just go into his day. Go into his world. I don't have feet, but the water's stirring. He's probably got his arms out doing an army man crawl on the ground, pulling himself by his arms to go head first into the water before someone else, and somebody else just, whoa, baby, and jumps in before him, and they're healed, and he's back on the banks again. This is a hungry one. And I believe Jesus looked, and he knew he was hungry. I've trained you, I've trained you, I've trained you. And hey, it's good to be trained, it's good to be educated, it's good, we need all those things. But Jesus didn't go to his resume. Jesus went to his hunger. The man's lack of ability blinded him to Christ's supernatural ability. And if we have a lack of hunger, we'll be blinded to Christ's ability. And when we're not hungry, we look at our own ability and we are blinded to his. And Jesus' statement was to get the guy to focus on his hunger. Do you want to be healed? He taps into his memory banks and he sees other people stepping in. And then, boom, he gets healed. So this is a perfect picture of God's healing ability being released in a hungry one. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. You need to ask. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened. The blessings are tied to our hunger. And a lot of times we have not because we ask not. Number two, the promises of God are received by the hungry. Everybody wants the promises of God. Not a lot of people want to be hungry, but when we're the hungry ones are the ones who receive it. Let's look at Romans. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Seed is the generations or our children. So if you want to see the promise made sure to your children, your child's in another nation on a mission trip, you want those promises to come to pass on your child, right? So you want Matt to be blessed. You want him to be wanted on your seed and beyond to his seed and his children. And this is what he's talking about. He's talking about, see, the hunger's not just for us. The hunger goes down to our kids. And it keeps going to our seed. And he's saying here, Paul, in Romans, he's addressing, he says, the promise might be sure to all the seed or generations, not only to those who are of the law, but those who are also of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed. I mean, sometimes everything looks like it's stacked up against us, but it's like, stay, keep believing. Huh? This church was birthed on the total series of miracles. When they gave me the steering wheel of their ship, we were $50,000 in debt, and we were meeting half of our bills. And it was really tough on me, but, the guy, we were leasing this building, and we had a lease option purchase. The guy called and says, are you exercising your lease option purchase, which was up 12 months after I took over, and we were 50 grand in debt, and we're meeting half our bills. Everything said, we're going to lose this, we're not going to be able to ever buy this land, and we're going to keep renting, and we've put $1 million with this other pastor in three churches. I figured out we've spent $1 million making other people rich with God's money. So when we went to buy this, I was just a youth pastor, but I was on the board of directors. I said, I'm not signing a lease on this thing unless we have an option to purchase. I'm done seeing $1 million go bye-bye. So I just refused. And so and it's not me, it's God, of course, orchestrated all this stuff. And then the guy ends up, and we had a progressive lease, and I said, well, you know, we're gonna buy this place, but, you know, if you want to extend my lease option purchase for 2 more years, we'll buy the land behind us, we'll do something else. So we extended our option. Basically, we paid off the $50,000 we were in debt, and then we raised the money for the down payment, and we bought this thing over 10 years ago, and it's doubled and tripled in value since then. And we've taken our mortgage, and we've paid our mortgage down from 100%, it's down to about 30% of what it was. And we've never taken another loan on that mortgage. And we have a junky van, but it's paid off. People say, why do you have that junky van? Because it's paid off. And, you know, and it's been tempting. Just pull money on your building and just extend another thing. And no, how about we get debt-free? How about we be like Romans and we owe no man anything but to love them? How about we be committed to that and give our kids the blessing of being on top and not the bottom, the head and not the tail? But this was miracles. This wasn't something that... But God likes to show off and do miracles. God likes to take the thing and just totally turn around and do a miracle. You know how we bought the other piece of land back here, that acre It's a miracle. Everything's been a miracle. Everything we've done's been a miracle. And Abraham's sitting here saying, okay, God gave me a promise. How did Abraham hold on? Because some of you, have you ever felt like you're just hanging on by a thread? That's kind of what Abraham's talking about right here. And he says in verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. His promise was he's going to have children. He's almost 100. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he's looking at his wife is too old to have babies, and I'm about 100. But he didn't, he wasn't weak in faith. Look what he says in verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he, God, had promised, he was also able to perform. So Abraham just believed, I'm old, she's old, but God's able. I'm like outnumbered, I'm like totally above myself, I'm got a straw treading, I'm below, I'm breathing, but I'm alive and I'm believing God's able. He'll find me if I'm sucking a reed below the water. He knows where I am. He'll go out to my place and pull me up out of the water. I mean, Abraham, I think after year after year after year after the promise, but he never lost it. How do we get a hold of that? Because Abraham did, and he's telling us, Paul's telling us, sometimes we're hanging on. And you might feel like that pregnant mom passed your due date. The guys are like, oh. The ladies are like, oh, I know what you're saying. You know, there's a story of a trapeze. Now, check this out. This is true. There's a relationship of trapeze artists. They're a very special relationship between the flyer and the catcher. The flyer is the one who lets go. The catcher is the one who catches. The relationship's really important because if the flyer lets go and the catcher doesn't catch him, are you here? So, important relationship with flyer and catcher. Okay? The flyer swinging high above the crowds, and when the moment comes, the flyer has to let go. We're the flyers. God's the catcher. We're all the flyers. Some of you right now are airborne. You're about ready to buy a business. Brittany, you're airborne. You're about ready to enter your own business. You're going to sell more cakes and more weddings are going to come to you because you're anointed of God. You know, some of you have businesses, you have ideas. So some of you are airborne. You're already let go. And you're going, God, catch me. Are you here? But God's good. And when we let go, we have to let go. And we need to understand that the job when we're in the air is to be still. Because if you're the catcher, you got to put your eye on that hand and psych on it, and you got to hit it right. If you're off 2 inches either direction, are you here? If you're in the air, you got to stand still. I had a prophetic word over me today. He's basically saying, stand still, watch me be God. Sounds like Moses. Stand still and watch me be God. Just lift up your authority and your staff and do what you're called to do and let me be God. And I'll part the Red Seas. Stand still. It's the rest of God. We enter into it under the finished work. We walk into it. We're blessed of God. Stand still. But sometimes it's hard to hang in the air. And it's hard to let go. Sometimes we're hanging. We're like, I'm not letting go. Huh? So I can't even let go. Faith will help you let go. And we have to be hungry enough to even climb the ladder because I want to get my hand on God's hand, and he's the catcher. And he's called me not to live down here with chickens, but to soar with those eagles. And the only way I'm going to soar is if I go and climb or summit. You got to climb. We're all on a journey, and we're taking people up with us. Come to the heights, and God will catch you. But you've got to get to a spot where you're hungry. The ones who aren't hungry aren't going up the ladder. The ones who aren't hungry, they're not going to let go. And when you let go, the catcher will catch you. But the flyer must wait still. And the only way we can be still is to be in faith. Because an unstill speaks of anxiety. It speaks of fear. It speaks of unrest. It speaks of all of those things. We have to put ourselves into the hands of God. And if you say, but I don't even feel it yet, faith is a substance. And once we let go, God will release the substance. There's a faith. I know, I trust, it's on. Are you with me? They do it with nets that catch them so many times they don't worry, then they do it without nets. Our life is like that. We step out, and we learn to know that big hand of God is going to catch us. And pretty soon, stop looking down at the ground and what's below you and realize you don't need a net. You got an awesome catcher. You just need to be hungry. And if you're not hungry, you won't go up the ladder and you won't take risks and you won't step out and you won't let go. But the hungry ones will let go and the hungry ones will bless because they end up in the hands of the mighty God. And he's awesome. Abraham walked in faith. So how do you stay in faith? Thank you for asking. See, Abraham fed on faith. If you're hungry, you only need to feed on faith, and you'll see the promise of God come true in your life. In Romans 4:20, he said he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. How did he stay in faith? Is he stayed hungry, and he fed his faith. You see, if you feed on unbelief, it'll steal your spiritual hunger and it'll lull you into apathy and complacency. Some things you eat will make you so tired you want to go to sleep. And some foods will make your pancreas go on overtime. And some things spiritually, some things you eat will make you more hungry. And if you build your natural metabolism with smaller meals and smaller increments, then you keep your metabolism, you stay hungry versus when you shut it down. Spiritually, we need to learn how to stay hungry. But we need to know how to feed on and what not to feed on. And Abraham fed himself on faith, not on unbelief, and he avoided unbelief. He stayed away from unbelief. Unbelief is like drinking seawater to quench your thirst. You ever seen these boats and cast away, they're out on the ocean and the water's blue? The water's only blue because it reflects the blue sky. That's why it's blue. And the Atlantic's green because there's plankton and there's algae and things. We got the best oceans. Come on now. Anyway, the ocean looks all blue. It looks refreshing. It looks like you could drink it. You know, more than 97% of the earth is salt water. You can't just drink a big glass of salt water. How many know you're not supposed to drink the salt water if you're stranded out in the ocean? How many know why? They just told me because mama said don't drink it. Can I tell you why? Because your body can't handle it. So, like, if you really want to, like, yeah, if you don't drink the salt water if you're on a boat stranded, you can't just chug a big old thing of it. Our kidneys are the filters. They separate the waste material in the blood. The waste is then stored in the form of urine in the bladder. It's ready to be expulsed from the body. A kidney cannot make urine from a concentration of salts more than 2%. Sorry for the health lesson, but stay with me. Seawater is made up of approximately 3% salt water. Your body can only handle 2% salt water. Do the math. If you drink seawater, your kidneys have to use existing water in your body another 50% more. So basically, if I drink a quart of seawater, it takes a quart and a half of water to push that through my kidneys. So if I'm going to drink seawater, it's going to take another half a quart of existing moisture, and I'm going to be more dehydrated after I drink it than not. And spiritually, some of the things that we touch drain more energy from us than give us energy. And they're deceptive, and they look blue and crystal clear, and they look like we could dip our thing in the ocean of entertainment and in the ocean of unbelief and in the ocean of dishonor and in the ocean of corruptness and in the ocean of it surrounds us and it looks good. No, we need to feed on what God says to feed on, and we need to be smart about what we put in our body, because what you ingest and what is some things you can't digest. And so what I'm telling you is that when he says hunger and thirst, we need to know what we are to feed on and what will mess us up. And I'll tell you a little trick. Not a little trick, but if you are on the boat, basically you can take about a tablespoon of, guys are like, I don't want to hear this, girls are like, who stinking cares? You can take a tablespoon of salt water about every 20 minutes and your saliva will counteract it and be able to process it. You could drink a tablespoon every, it's proven, there's a paper on it, and look it up on the internet. You could do a tablespoon of water every 20 minutes. You know what? You can take about a little bit of bitterness every once in a while. stay away from offense. You stay away from offense. You have to stay away from bitterness. You can only handle a little bit. And if you drink too much, you're in trouble. You need to get the pure water in you. And the water is the water of the Word of the Living God. Anyway. So, once we have a promise of God, once we know God's will, we need to stay hungry. We need to feed our hunger with faith. And once we have faith, we set in motion. Our job is not to waver in unbelief, but to stand and believe and look towards His ability and look towards and to look on Him and to believe that Jesus really can heal me. Do you believe with the blind man? Do you believe that I can heal you? Do you believe? Do you believe you could be set free? Do you want to be set? We need to get a hunger, and we need to mix with faith. And the seed from this generation will go to generation to generation if we stay hungry. Our ability to stay hungry affects generations to come. So blessed are the generations of the hungry. Number three, release the blessing to the hungry. Release the blessing. Release the blessing. I can't say this enough. We need to release the blessing. Whoa, we're going to get some worship at the end of our service. This is awesome. Release the blessing. Release the blessing. We need to release the blessing. Jesus said to him, he said, do you want to be healed? Then he said, rise and walk. Release the blessing. Release it. Do you want to be made well? Rise and walk. We need to release the blessing. Look, you don't have to be the fastest, the wealthiest, the smartest, or the strongest. You just have to be the hungriest. That guy obviously wasn't the fastest, didn't have legs. And, you know, Jesus comes up to him, and he really wasn't probably the quickest, sharpest guy because he's the author of life was standing there. Could have said, yeah, I'll take legs, and can you, like, also give me, like, you know, whatever. I'll take full restoration of all everything I've lost in my life up to this point. You know, I mean, amazing, but you know what? You don't have to have all that stuff, and God kind of takes glory in that. You know, He didn't build this place because I was the sharpest. My oldest brother's here. I wasn't the oldest, obviously. I was a middle kid, you know. Might have been the best looking, but anyway, I'm just joking. You know, I might not have been the sharpest. Actually, in school, I wasn't the sharpest and smartest. You know, I was a lot of trouble, and I had dyslexic stuff happening and hid my learning disabilities and got saved, born again, healed of it, afraid of public speaking, and then I'm a public speaker, and then He heals me, and then I go back and get stuff, and I got my college and got my education, and God takes the thing and turns it around. So God looked at Gideon, and He didn't go, you're the youngest, you're the smallest. No, He was the great mighty warrior. He was afraid in the wine presses, and then He raises him up. And Moses, and you're here, and you're afraid of speaking, and we raise you up. And you just keep going through the scriptures. It's like, my goodness, Peter, you're the one who, like, went off and cut someone's ear off. And, you know, like, you're the one who's got a hot temper, and you become the head of the church in Jerusalem, the leader. Leadership, my goodness, Thomas, you're so full of unbelief, and yet he went and rocked nations. I'm just saying, God likes to take your weakness and turn it around. If we figure out, we're the hungry ones saying, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. I'm the hungry one. And so, if we're hungry, we're qualified. So, stay hungry. You don't need to be hungry. We look and we say, Jesus said, rise, take a bit more. You know what? You only need to be hungry. Luke 6:38, I told you, given will be given to you. You know what? We look right away and sometimes we go, well, Pastor, I've not prayed for anyone who was in a wheelchair, not prayed for the person who's blind, not prayed for all these crazy miracles. You can give. How many of you gave? You can go out there and give to Danielle's mission so she can go to another nation. You can give. You can love a person who you need to forgive. You can love the person who hates you. You can, hello? You can serve. So why don't we do what Jesus did, and then you'll do the other things Jesus did? We're not chasing signs and wonders. The signs and wonders follow us. But if we're hungry to love, to serve, and to give, then the rest of the stuff will follow us. But if we're chasing that stuff, then it's not going to follow us. We just need to be the hungry ones. Jesus is saying, here I am, God. To just be like, here I am. I'll never forget when I was first asked. Dan O'Dash knew at the time. You know, I've known Dan for decades, and my pastor asked me to lead the youth group. There was three kids. Go lead three kids who are like heavy metal kids. says, you know, because the pastor asked me to do it, and we're doing a church plant, so, and he's thinking, like, I had a 3-year plan. I'm like, I don't have a 3-year plan. I don't even have a 3-month plan. I don't even know what a 3-year plan is. I don't know how to do a business plan. I don't know how to do a 3-year plan. I don't know how to do any of that. You know what I know how to do? I know how to do what my pastor said. I just got born again. I'm serving. I cleaned the barbecues. I greeted people like Dan O'Dash when he pulled up on his 900 in the parking lot. I greeted people. And I loved people. I didn't know how to do a lot, but I went out and I loved them. You know what I mean? And so I just did whatever I could do. And this guy's like, do you have a 3-year plan? And I felt really bad that I didn't know what a 3-year plan was. But he just wanted a position. His motive was to get a title to be a pastor. And I just wanted to give and love and serve people. So I was just hungry enough to say, I'll do whatever you want to be done, and then my gifts made way for me. And then eventually, you know, I became a youth pastor, and then finally was, after whatever, you know, half a decade of doing that, I was actually ordained, and, you know, then I actually went to school, and I got my GED, and I, you know, I was a long-haired drug dealer. My hair was down to my waist. I dropped out to make money. Sorry, but I did go to Bible school, and thanks to Talon D, like, nudged me gently along the way, and I did get my education because I was hungry. Are you here? I never had anything, like, just handed like that. I don't know what that means. I work hard and stay hungry, and God does what God does. I've thrown myself in the air so many times, and I'm just telling you, if you get a chance to go up the ladder, go up the ladder. Because that's our whole vision, is to lead people to new heights, to get them up there, and to say, are you crazy? No, it's awesome. Come with me. Just swing out, and God's going to catch you. Are you kidding me? You want me to go there? It's awesome. He's going to catch us. So much fun. That's way better than playing it safe. Because you have callings, and you will never reach them if you don't, like, say, okay, I'll go, and your faith is built up, and then you let go, and then he gets a hold of you. And then you're, like, swing, and you're in the swing, and he's like, you got to let go. Well, just one more swing. You got to let go. Just one more swing, a little more momentum, you know. And then, and God's like, it's time for you to go. So 3 days ago, he tells Danielle, I know you have it in your heart, but I want you to go to Africa. And she says, is it you? Yes. He says, let go. She says, okay, I'll go. And within 3 days, she's got half her airfare money. And I believe by the end of today, you're going to have all of it. And tomorrow, you're going to take it, and you'll be on your way to Africa for the first time. But can I tell you this? It's not like, it's like, you got to let go. You got to let go. And so you're saying, how do I get there? Get hungry enough to climb the ladder. That's not stepping on people. I'm saying, get hungry to just say, God, whatever you want. Huh? I've taken youth up Half Dome many a times when I was youth pastor, and I remember some afraid of heights that went up, and I said, I would go with you. And as we went up the cables, I remember putting my arms around both sides and said, just push your body against mine, and I got you. All the way up to the top with someone afraid of heights. I got him back off by saying, turn around and look up and don't look down and just lean against me and we'll go back down the cables. Because I didn't know he was afraid of heights. God's like that. God's like, if you're afraid, I'll come right next to you and put my big daddy God arms around you. But are you hungry enough to step out? Are you hungry enough to say yes? Can I get the team up here? To release the blessing. Release it. And 3A is look for the hungry. Jesus saw him lying there and he knew it. There was something he just knew. He saw it in him. Look for the hungry ones. Just look for the hungry ones. just believing that I can jump, and that Daddy God is going to catch us, and he's going to make that center, and he's going to fuel it with people, and there's going to be team after team and wave after wave of people that are going to go farther in the bush and farther in the bush and up those rivers, and we're going to reach them. If we only reached one, it would be worth it to see them in eternity, but we're reaching them on every continent. There's a team in Asia, and there's a team that came back from Nicaragua, and we got to keep sending them to Puerto Rico. We got to send them to Nepal. We got to send them to the nations. We've got to keep going where God calls us, and just let go and jump. And if you can't go, you say, I'm not called to go in that context, you're still part of that team. Are you with me? It's when we lose our hunger, when we don't care. Are you with me? Feed that hunger. And don't feed on the stuff that quells it and quenches it. Would you stand with me? I pray, God, you impart your heart and your hunger, Jesus. Jesus was so hungry for God. So hungry to release his spirit on humanity. He tolerated a Judas so he could release 11 world changers. He showed us how to deal with him when he let him kiss him on his cheek and he called him friend. Learn from Jesus. Forgive those who have betrayed you, and forgive those who despitefully use you. Forgive your enemies, and forgive those who want to cause harm against you. Be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. Well, I can't disciple anymore because Judas peaced out, so I'm done. I'm a failure. Hey, if it takes having one that falls off, but we have 11 that go out to change the whole world, I think we did pretty good. And if that was Jesus' record and you look at his crew, I don't think some of you are doing so bad. Be encouraged is what I'm trying to say. Sorry it took so long. God, I just pray right now that you just release faith in this room. I pray, God, that you release a hunger, and that we just understand that all we have to do is simply stay hungry, and that we can change the world, and we are changing the world, and we will obey what you're telling us to do, and we will go to the nations. We will mobilize campuses into the nations. We will see it happen. We will see this church multiply into 5 locations that we will see. We will see the teams going out. We will see teams being sent to the uttermost parts of the earth. We will raise up your people. We will disciple those. We will love those that people will refuse to love. We won't overlook. We will love. We will bless. And God, we can love, and we can give, and we can serve. So we will do what we can, and we'll believe you to do the rest. We look onto your supernatural ability, and we believe you. You're the God. You're the one who heals. You're the one who saves. You're the one who does miracles. Just use us. Just be. Let us be the donkey that your miraculous power rides in on. But we yield. And I just pray right now for everyone here that you would just fill them with a hunger, that you would stir the gifts and passions. I pray like when I read Revelation and I read when he rebuked him and he said, you've left your first love, but they challenged out people with good doctrine. Lord, don't ever let us be so religious that the rules are more important than the people that are behind them. God, let us love people and bless. God, we want good doctrine, but God, we don't want to lose our first love. We don't want to lose our passion. We don't want to lose our hunger. God, we are those who are the hungry ones. And I ask you, God, to draw the hungry ones. I pray, God, that we'd never just say if we just stop, if you just turn it down, if you just turn the flame down, we could get more people to stay. No, we want the hungry ones. We want to turn out hungry ones. We want to see the world changers, God. We want to reach them, God. And God, I just pray for your blessing on everyone who's here. I pray, God, that you release it. Release it. Release it, oh God. And I just want to pray before we're going to worship and just sing this song before we go out. But as we do, I just want to pray with you. If you, some of you, maybe you don't know Jesus. first, with everyone's head bowed, if you're here and you say, he's not my Savior because I've not asked him to forgive my sins, would you do that tonight? I mean, today. And if he is your Savior,